This is Nicole Suvar, and you are listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to welcome my friend Nicole Suvar to the show today to talk all about her book, Numbering Our Days. You are really, really going to enjoy this conversation with Nicole all about how do we see our time from an eternal perspective. She has so much wisdom to share, and I know you're going to learn so much from her, just as I did. So welcome our friend Nicole to the show. Nicole, I'm so excited to have you today. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
This is going to be awesome. I am so excited to get to chat a little bit more about your book, Numbering Our Days. We had you as one of our books, or one of our Rebecca's Reads books last year that we highlighted. And I'm just excited for listeners to just get to hear a little bit more about this message. So the full title of the book is Numbering Our Days, Combating Anxiety and the Power of Small Intentional Moments. And I love that subtitle because I think we don't focus on that enough. And I just love the work that you've done and would just love to start out by having you share a little bit about where this book came from for you and a little bit of the story behind it.
Yeah. So the story goes back nearly 30 years, really. My earliest memories of anxiety are like age 8. It's possible it's further back than that. But I was not formally diagnosed until the age of 36 with generalized anxiety disorder. And you could say that I've had a lot of research and development when it comes to
sure
anxiety. And living with anxiety, it can be so overwhelming to just look at even a whole day that you almost don't even want to get out of bed, or you are just frozen in place. You can't even do the thing in front of you. And I found that when I started focusing on that small moment, just where I was at in that moment of time, that it helped make those highly anxious days more manageable. And it not only made me just able to survive, but I was able to thrive. And so, but I found that it doesn't come naturally. Either you have anxiety or even if you don't, being intentional with the moment in front of you instead of just letting life sweep you along. And it helps us to live life well. And so my passion turned into sharing this idea with others, because I know that there are others out there who struggle with anxiety, maybe because of a diagnosis and maybe because of just the circumstances they're in. And instead of just following after life and whatever life throws at you, that's how you react. Instead, being intentional each day. And there's that power that you have over your anxiety when you take it in those small intentional moments.
Yeah, that's so good. Something I've always loved, a quote I've always loved, is that whole sentiment of wherever you are, be all there. You know, I always think about that when I think of just this sentiment of small intentional moments. And as I've read your book and as I've thought about this conversation, that was something that came to my mind, because my life very much is metaphorically, you could think about like a computer screen with a lot of tabs open, right? And I just find myself saying very often, like, focus on the tab that you're in right now, you know? And so even just to say it in a different way, that's how it's kind of come to life for me over the last year or two. And if we think about, you know, biblically speaking, when we think about time, we absolutely see in scripture this thought of like time is fleeting, and we know that our time here this side of heaven is limited. And I just wonder, as you think about the message of the book, as you think about what God's shown you in how we should see our time, what does it look like to see that rightly in the middle of our everyday lives?
Yeah, so something I talk about in the book, and I actually have it at the end of every single devotion, is looking at these three different things: recognize, reconnect, and refocus. You notice how I have that re in front of all of those things. It's because it's something that we're going to have to do over and over again, because as humans, we're prone to focus on the temporary things, and we tend to inflate those things in our minds to being the most important. But as Christ followers, we're called to live differently, and that this is not our home, and we have another city waiting for us, but God has placed us here and now to live for his glory and point others to him. So we go through this three-step process to help us keep that perspective of eternity. So we recognize, like in the moment, if we're feeling really anxious or we feel like we're just going through a day, we're like, I'm just not getting anything accomplished. First, recognize where you're focusing on temporal instead of eternal things. And then reconnect whatever you're doing, reconnect it to something that's eternal. So something that is focused on Christ, and then refocusing your intention and your perspective to the eternal. Because when we see our eternal life as the more important one, we can live this life more fully and with more purpose.
Yeah. It changes everything about the way that we see our time and our days. And man, how encouraging is that to just take that moment when it's a busy day, or when we're feeling anxious, or we're feeling defeated or discouraged. No matter, you know, I think we could apply that to anxiety, but we could also apply that to so many other maybe challenging moments in our days. And so I love that framework. I love that a lot. And I love how in the subtitle and throughout the message of the book, you talk about this idea of small intentional moments of life, which we've talked about a little bit. I think it can be really easy for life to just kind of pass us by, especially when we are in maybe one of those seasons of life or something that feels like we have a lot of tabs open. And I just wonder how do we ensure that we're numbering our days? Are there practical things that maybe you point yourself back to, even when we're in those kind of mundane seasons? How do we make sure that we're numbering our days?
Yeah. So, yeah, as each of us are placed here on earth for a certain number of days, we know that. We know that time is precious, but we don't always, that doesn't always translate in how we're living life.
Yeah.
So numbering our days, that comes from Psalm 90:12. And it was a prayer of Moses. It says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And Moses, he was a man that he was in the presence of God. Like he had seen numerous miracles that God had done. And yet his prayer was still like he was still seeking after God and wanting to like help me grasp eternity instead of the temporary. And I think like even if a man who followed that closely after God was still praying and had that was his heart cry, that like how much more we need to have that too. And when we think of like numbering, we number something, it feels limited and finite. But instead, when we can focus on the fact that like, okay, God has given us a certain number of days, so we can live fully within that bracket of time that he's given us. And instead of letting life sweep us along, instead of moving out of like maintenance mode is kind of what I say, just kind of like we're just doing the things. And following our feelings, like what we eat when we feel like we need to sleep or whatever we want to do with our free time. But that spiral of anxiety, that can happen when we don't take our thoughts captive and we start believing every thought in our head. So it's that, again, it's being intentional, noticing what we're doing. If the moment I'm in, am I doing this because I feel obligated or I'm feeling, am I reacting out of shame or am I focusing on something that's like making me feel pressure to get something done? Like there's that temporary thought of it. And I find that, especially when it starts to make us feel anxious and it makes us feel like we have to go faster and faster. When in reality, we look and see how Jesus took life. Like there's a lot of urgent things that came at him, but yet he always walked.
Yeah.
Like I know that he didn't have a vehicle to drive in, but he actually, like even when there was someone who was sick, he didn't run. He walked everywhere. So I actually force myself to move slower in those times where I feel like I need to go faster. And it does something not only in my body, but in my mind. And it brings me back to more of the pace of Jesus than the pace of this world.
Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. This month, we're highlighting the CSB Lifeway Women's Bible. This Bible is designed to assist women of any age to go deeper in their study, including an in-depth collection of articles, devotionals, study tools, and more, brought to you by some of your favorite women and mine, Lauren Chandler, Priscilla Schreier, Kelly Minter, Angie Smith, Lisa Harper, and other Lifeway Women authors. There are 7 cover options to choose from. Get one for yourself and for a loved one and save 70% on select covers at lifeway.com with a promo code, all caps, LWW70. Again, that's LWW70. Personalization available on select editions. Now, back to the show. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And I wonder, as you have walked this path of discovering, and you shared a little bit about your story at the beginning. What has it looked like for you to combat your own anxiety and how that's played a role in how you see time from an eternal perspective, right? We're only going to get a glimpse of that in this conversation today, but maybe for a listener who is coming to today's episode thinking, gosh, my story sounds a lot like Nicole, but I have not walked down that path towards healing yet. What encouragement would you give her from maybe what God's been doing in your own life?
Yeah. So when I finally came to a diagnosis, because I was actually in a suicidal, I was starting to have like suicidal thoughts. I never carried out anything, but it scared me enough that I was like, I'm looking around at my life and I have a loving husband. I had 3 healthy children. I had a job I enjoyed. But yet I felt like I didn't need to be here anymore. And that scared me. Mm. So when I went, I actually called a hotline.
Really?
And yeah, a Christian counseling hotline. And it was for the first time that I heard that, like, the thoughts I was thinking, that's not a way to live life. I just thought that everyone struggled with like this type of worry is what I just called it at the time. But realizing that it was anxiety and it was a lot deeper than just the circumstance I was in.
Yeah.
And so I think like the first step is like you've got to share with somebody, and it's got to be a safe place that somebody's going to listen without judgment and not just come back with a, oh, don't worry about it, or, oh, that's not that big a deal. And because those kind of things can't be shut off and they can't just be set aside. I always encourage someone, if they are struggling with an anxiety, first and foremost, go to Jesus and have him work through your heart to make sure there isn't some kind of sin issue that you still need to work through. Because that's first and foremost, your relationship with Jesus. But if it's an anxiety that's like a diagnosis type thing, you can be solid in your relationship with Jesus and you could still be struggling. Yeah. So that's when you need to have like those safe people that you can tell this to, so that they will listen and they will be able to tell you, okay, I think you need to see a doctor. Or, okay, I think you maybe need some counseling. Like, there's other resources out there. It's not always medication. It's not always that sometimes are you taking care of yourself in just all of the ways of eating right and moving your body and staying in community with others, not isolating yourself. There's some of those different factors that we can just do to help that anxiety along.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. And I think that's a good sort of list to kind of consider, right? Because sometimes for me, if it's like a circumstantial or a season type thing, when maybe I've sensed or noticed anxiety bubbling up in me, for me, it's not been like a chronic lifelong thing, but it can be circumstantial for me. And so sometimes I'll step back and go, wow, I have not moved my body this week. I have not been drinking enough water. I'm not sleeping well. So I probably need to just take a night and not set an alarm and make an intentional choice to fuel my body, whether it be sleep, water, exercise, et cetera. And so there's some of those filters sometimes that I'll see my circumstantial situation through. And that's my story, because I haven't my story is different from maybe somebody that's listening. But I do think that, as you know, in addition to sharing with someone, thinking through some of those areas of like, how am I setting myself up well to be able to see all these tabs that are open in my brain rightly, to number my days, to see time in the appropriate way, and surrender that to the Lord. And so I know that was even something this week I was talking to my husband about. I was like, man, I have not slept well in multiple nights in a row. So that's like a flashing warning sign a little bit of like, okay, what do I need to shift or change to maybe be able to move forward? So I love those ideas. And I wonder, as we are kind of rounding to the second half of the conversation, are there other things that practically we've already shared a lot of those things, but other pieces of advice or practical things that you've done that might give listeners some encouragement and how to number our days?
Yeah. So like in my book, there's like those seven areas that I focus on. So there's seven different chapters, and each chapter has seven different devotions in it. And those seven areas are first you focus on your heart. And then we're focusing on our thoughts, our relationships, our home, our time, money, and health. And so all of those different factors, if one of those things is off, it's going to kind of throw off the rest of them. And so that's why when we're looking at like one of those things might be in your day, like if you're feeling more anxious or feeling more overwhelmed or hurried, like going through those seven things, like, okay, what are these things? What is something in one of these areas that's like niggling at the back of my brain and keeping me from focusing on this moment in front of me? What is that tab, like you were saying, what's that tab in that other space over there that's maybe having one of those pop-up thing that keeps the computer running slower or something?
Yeah.
So it's kind of filtering through those seven areas and thinking through what is it? And then pausing and causing ourselves to slow down and thinking through and getting to the root of what that issue really is. So thinking through just like intentionally what I do with my day, for the very beginning, I do not have a phone in my bedroom. Like the phone is across the house. Yeah. So I actually wake up with an old fashioned alarm that beeps at me.
I love that so much. And don't we all need to do that? I keep saying I'm going to do that, but I haven't yet.
it is a big thing because we say like, oh, I don't do anything with my phone first thing. But
yeah, you do.
I kind of do. And when it's all the way across the house, like I have to pass many other things before I ever get to that phone. And one of those things is my Bible. And one of those things is my coffee.
Praise the Lord.
Making myself sit down and spend 10 minutes. And sometimes if it's just having anxiety, sometimes you wake up actually, like I've woke up in a panic attack. Like I don't even know where that came from. So thankfully, praise the Lord, I don't have those as often, but sometimes I just wake up already feeling overwhelmed. And so sometimes scripture just looks like opening a psalm and just reading a psalm. Yeah. And it's not even like digging in and getting a lot out of it, but there's just something about God's word that just sets our heart in the right space from the beginning. And I'm not talking about like, even if it's just the 5 minutes before we start getting into the world, like getting into his word first. And then just throughout the day, it's like making sure you're getting water, making sure you're fueling yourself right, making sure you're moving. I get it. It's just like those are some of those basic things. But then also like it's like the relationship, making sure you're connecting with people. Even if somebody comes to mind, sending them a text. Like just letting them know you're thinking about them. There's just something, even if you're not getting something back, that reaching out and feeling like you are, you're connecting and placing something in someone else's life can help you give you that purpose.
Wish you had confidence in what's inside the makeup you use every day. I have been loving Crunchy Makeup and Skincare, and I want to share it with you. They are a clean beauty brand that believes beauty should never compromise your health. That's why their products are meticulously crafted with the highest standards of clean, toxic-free ingredients, ensuring you look and feel your best without harming your skin. I have been loving their beautifully flawless foundation. From their award-winning foundation to nourishing skincare essentials, Crunchy offers a range of products designed to enhance your natural beauty effortlessly. Indulge in beauty that's as pure as it is powerful by shopping my link in the show notes. Yeah, yeah, that's so good. I wonder, as you have talked with readers and other people who've dug into the book, is there an area of those seven areas that you mentioned that you see creep up a lot, where we struggle the most often? Have you seen a trend there?
Yeah, I have. They're the two that people have said the most with is time and relationships. It makes a lot of sense, because we live in a time because of our phones.
Yeah.
And that have kept us so connected, but in one way, but completely disconnected in another. So I think relationships have changed. And then also, we're so much dictated by our phones. It tells us so many things that we aren't necessarily always thinking for ourselves. Like that notification goes off and you drop everything and you go to that phone. And versus like actually being in this, like, what are you doing with the time that you have now? Like let's say you're boiling water for some spaghetti. What are you doing while that water is boiling? Like maybe you're actually chopping up some other vegetables or something. But if you're not, if you're just waiting on water to boil, how many people are just picking up a phone? I'm like, I'm just going to scroll. And all of a sudden, like, there's 10 minutes that instead of the 10 minutes you could have scrolled on a phone, you could have the 10 minutes you could have connected with your spouse, or the 10 minutes you could have been just like standing there.
Yeah, just resting.
Yes. I just think of like 100 years ago, like if a woman was waiting for her pot to boil, like what else she may have been doing. And she very much could have just been standing there staring out the kitchen window. And just like what we're missing when we don't just stop and just notice what is around us. And it's just that I call it like the art of noticing the small things.
Yes.
And I think that that helps connect us not only to like the here and now, so the moment we're living in, but also reminding us of like the eternal, because when we're starting to just notice the little things, it helps bring the two connected together.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I have this theory that I've been thinking about a lot lately of just how much information our normal lives require us to take in that I just don't know that we were wired for as humans in the way that God wired us. And I just think about, you know, maybe even a generation ago, I even look at my mom as an example. My mom doesn't have Facebook or Instagram and has her tight-knit community within the little town where she and my dad live. And she has a great group of friends and great community. But I even look at like how that shifted down to my generation. And even I think about friends I had in high school, right? And I feel this need to know everything about their lives because I have just enough access online to know, okay, they have two or three children, but like, do I remember their names? I don't know when their birthdays are. They live across the country from me. And yet I feel this almost pressure to know what no generation before me has known about people they went to high school with, just as one small example, right? I know my mom has friends from high school that she's not talked to in decades and feels zero guilt or shame about that, because people shift in and out of our lives season to season, and that's not a bad thing. And then we think globally what we have access to and what's happening around the world, and we're carrying the weight of that on our shoulders. And then at the same time, our community within our just local pocket of where God's planted our feet has become such that we don't really need quote unquote people anymore. If we have to go to the airport to take an early flight, we just get an Uber. We don't ask a friend to take us. If we get sick, we order our favorite soup from Panera. We don't ask a friend to make us homemade chicken noodle soup. Those are just a couple of examples. But even in the last couple of months, God has just been opening my eyes, one, in a way that I've been able to receive from others, but then also he's given me opportunities to pour out and push back against a little bit of that we're experiencing. So two examples I'll give. One, I'll give is I was sick a couple months ago. And my friend, one of my really, really close friends that lives a couple miles from us, she didn't ask if she could make me soup. She didn't ask what I needed. She just texted me and said, I'm going to come over in about a half hour. I've made homemade chicken noodle soup for you. It should last a couple of days. It's still hot. So I just want to make sure you haven't eaten dinner yet because I'll be on my way over in a few minutes. Like, she just did it. She didn't ask. She just met a really practical need. Yes. And it, I thought about it for days. Like, I was just so grateful. Mm-hmm. And realistically, she just, in an everyday moment of her life, chose to say, you know what? We're going to have chicken noodle soup for dinner, and I'm going to make double, and I'm going to take Rebecca and Dustin some. And it was that easy of a decision. So from that perspective, I was able to receive that. And then in the opposite way, I had a friend text me a couple weeks ago. She was going out of town for 2 or 3 weeks, didn't want to leave her vehicle at the airport, and just texted and said, hey, on Wednesday, what are the chances you could drop me by the airport on your way into the office? And it's going to be really early. And she was super apologetic and didn't want me to have to get up any earlier. But realistically, for me, when I timed it out, I could get up at the same time, do my workout at the office instead of what I usually do at home. So I just kind of shifted my morning around, and it actually really blessed me to get to help her, right? So those are just two really practical examples, but don't you think we like have to, we have to start pushing back against what we're seeing in culture because it's allowed us to not need people. But yet we were wired for relationship and we were wired for community. That was a big soapbox. So everyone, you're welcome.
No, I think it's great. Actually, I was just going to say, it's just at the end of that, I was going to say, and you were probably blessed by helping another. Like,
yes.
She allowed you to help her. And you said it before I asked you that, like, when we give up some of that community and needing each other, like, not only are we missing out on someone blessing us, but we're missing out on blessing others. And it's just like a mutual thing that, like, God created us to need each other.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think that's such a big piece of the conversation that we're talking about today. So I'm glad that came up. And one of the questions that I always ask all of my guests that come on the show. So the podcast is called Radical Radiance, with a heart to help women see what it looks like really practically to radiate the heart of Christ in all that we do, our life, our work, our relationships. And it goes back to this verse God was really putting on my heart in the Psalms, which is cool that we were talking about the Psalms earlier. It's Psalms 34, verse 5. And it says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be covered in shame. And so the question I love asking in this season of your life is, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Yeah. So when you asked me this, I think I could tie it back to anxiety and the fact that I could allow anxiety to write my story and be in control. Mm-hmm. I could have a life that's crippled by anxiety attacks and never leaving my house and never going to new places or meeting new people and always wanting to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
Or I could see anxiety as something that's like a thorn in my side that's reminding me that in my weakness, he is strong.
Yeah.
And I can bring glory to God through this diagnosis of generalized anxiety disorder. Because anxiety will try to take me down, but God is stronger. And through him, that's where my radiance comes.
Yeah. So good. So, so good. Well, I am so thankful for you and so excited for all of our friends to get their hands on a copy of, I'll say the full title again, Numbering Our Days, Combating Anxiety in the Power of Small Intentional Moments. And I want you to share with everybody, where can they connect with you and grab the book, all of those things after the conversation?
Yeah, if they want to go first to my website, livewithintent.org, I have a ton of stuff on there, lots of free resources. Also, I have like a Worrier Warrior quiz. You could sign up for my weekly email devotional. I send every Friday morning a devotion that's focused on being intentional, like just a different intentional thing each week. I also, you can have access my Peace and Purpose course that kind of takes this intentional living another step further, mm-hmm. as well as connecting to the Intentional Life community through Patreon. So that's all on my website. And I also post regularly on Instagram, just with practical tips to live life with intention and different ways to combat anxiety and overwhelm, not just for yourself, but also for teens and your children mm-hmm. too. And so my handle is Mrs. Nicole Suvar.
Awesome. And you are a CH, Nicole. So yes. Just for friends who are spelling your name.
H in the middle of Nicole. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Well, I am so grateful for you, and I can't wait for listeners to tune into this conversation and get to learn from you. So again, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yes. I loved being here. This was great.
I hope you loved that conversation with Nicole as much as I did. Go grab a copy of her book wherever you like to purchase books. And if this episode particularly encouraged you, would you consider sharing it with a friend? That really helps us get these episodes into the hands of more women that need them, and it would mean the absolute world to me. I can't wait to be back next week for another amazing episode, and I will chat with you then.